Tonight I'm going to talk about bridges into presence. Things like noticing your thoughts, paying attention to your breath and to what's coming into your senses, noticing beauty, noticing the aliveness in your body, being grateful, using forgiveness, and simply listening to sound and listening to the silence in between the sounds. So those are some of the bridges into presence, but there's a lot more to say about this topic because there are even more bridges than that. First of all, I want to define presence because it may seem rather intangible and theoretical, but it's actually what we're all swimming in. It is the ground of being. It is formlessness, which form comes from. So whenever we drop out of the virtual reality of the mind, the only place we can land is the present moment. And if we stay there in the present moment long enough, we'll begin to experience presence, which is this ground of being. There are many words for it. Essence, true self, true nature, awakeness, awareness, consciousness. The words, of course, can't really capture what it is, but then again, you all know what it is because you experience it. But you have to pay attention to it, to know the experience of it. And the longer you pay attention to it, the deeper and stronger that experience becomes. So presence unfolds as we give it our attention, as we desire it, as we long for it. And so there's a certain readiness to be present and experience presence that comes naturally with our evolution. That perhaps can't be rushed. You know, what causes a willingness to be present? Where does the longing for presence come from? Well, it must only come from the deepest self, because it can't possibly come from the mind. The ego doesn't want presence. So what longs for presence and what is willing to be present and is willing to choose to be present is presence itself, is your true nature, as it awakens within you. I'm not that small me who occasionally experiences presence. I'm actually presence itself. Within this presence, there is no sense of I. There's no sense of the small self. It's gone. You could even say it's a definition of presence. Is that there is no I. There is no sense of being a separate small self. You are one with oneness. And yet you can still function. At least most people can. Sometimes people have very dramatic awakenings or experiences that cause them to be dysfunctional for a while and they can't find the nose on their face. They don't know how to put the spoon in their mouth anymore. It does happen. But eventually, most of those people do find their way back into the ego structure that allows them to both function as an individual, but still know and remember themselves as oneness, as presence. So there isn't that much more we can say about presence. We can describe it by its qualities, but even qualities are concepts, really. The qualities that it's usually described by are peace, love, gratitude, awe, strength, happiness, fortitude, courage, patience, and other fine qualities. all of those qualities you consider fine and desirable are qualities of essence. And everyone has them. There isn't a human being on earth who's ever been created throughout time who at their essential core doesn't have these very fine, beautiful qualities. These qualities are who we are. They are our true nature. And that means that we have access to them at any time. We honestly have access to them at any time. Anytime we turn our attention to a quality and focus on it, that quality comes alive in us. It comes forward to the forefront, and we experience it. So, for instance, if you're needing courage at a particular time, if you go looking for that within yourself, in your subtle being, if you can find even just a sliver of courage, which you always can, then if you focus on that sliver of courage, it will increase. It will become stronger and more obvious. Whatever we give our attention to becomes magnified in our experience. So when you're having a difficult time, it's very important to focus on the qualities of your true nature that will help you get through that difficult time. One of those qualities, of course, is courage. Fortitude is another one. Perseverance. Wisdom. Wisdom is another quality of your true nature. If you sit in true nature, in presence long enough, you will receive the wisdom intuitively that you need for any moment. This oneness that has given life to us is so gracious, so benevolent, that it gives us everything we need to be happy, to survive, to be loving, to be content. It gives us everything that we need. All we have to do is turn to it, receive it, receive what is already there. First, we have to believe it's there, though, don't we? Or why would we turn to it? So in the ordinary state of consciousness, the egoic state of consciousness, the default of the human mind, we don't believe there is anything more but the mind. We don't believe in a trustworthy presence or life that is living us, that is good and loving and benevolent. Our mind doesn't believe in that. So how can a person discover that life is actually so benevolent? Only by moving beyond any beliefs that keep you from seeing the truth about it, that it is benevolent. So it's very important to examine. And so the willingness to explore these qualities of presence is very important. To turn our attention to these qualities, to sit with them long enough to get to know them, long enough for them to expand and become more palpable, more tangible to us. So one of the most important bridges into presence is to focus on a quality of essence, of presence. To sit with it, to drink it, to take it in, to explore it, not with your mind, not with your analytical mind, but with your experience, with your being. Experience it. What does love feel like? What is the experience of love? Don't try to put words on it. That would just be the mind. But what is the experience of love? What is the experience of joy? What is the experience of courage? These qualities each have their unique flavor. They've been likened sometimes to the facets of a diamond. And in any moment, there might be one of these qualities that is in the forefront. Or in a particular person, they might express a particular facet of the diamond, a particular quality more than some other quality. For example, I think Eckhart Tolle expresses so beautifully the facet of peace. And there are others who are all about love, who very easily express that. So there's not a better quality than another. They are different. They are unique and can't be compared. Like apples and oranges can't be compared. You can't say one is better than the other, one is preferable than the other. Of course, the mind might have a preference. The personality might have a preference. So this bridge is just a matter of whenever you are feeling stressed out or contracted or upset, exhausted, negative, you can just stop. You can just stop a moment. And that's a choice, of course. That takes a certain amount of consciousness, awareness, to be able to just stop when you're in a negative place. That right there is quite a milestone to be able to do that. And meditation, of course, helps you develop that ability to just stop, to notice what's going on. Oh, I'm contracted. Oh, I'm going on and making myself miserable. Oh, I'm stressing myself out. Just to see that and then make a choice, because just seeing it isn't enough, then make a choice to just stop. Just stop. Stop a moment and notice what else is here. What else is here? Is peace here, even just a little? Is love here, even just a little? For this person who's stressing me out or driving me crazy or judging me right now here in this moment, can I find compassion in this moment, even just a sliver for this person? Can I find compassion for myself in this moment? Compassion is another very important quality of essence, of course. It is a bridge. Compassion. Compassion for our humanness, for the difficulty of being human. It's so hard to be human. It's so hard. If it were easy, this would be such a different world. It's hard to be human because we have egos. So you have compassion for your ego. You have compassion for the thought stream, for the thoughts, for the negativity. You see it for what it is. Something that does not belong to you, but is part of the human condition of every single person's human mind. And you have compassion for the human condition that you find yourself in, and for how very difficult it is to overcome. How very difficult. And this allows you to have compassion for other people and how difficult they can be. You can have compassion for them being stuck in ego, for them causing suffering within themselves and outside of themselves, within you and other people. You can have compassion for that difficult situation they find themselves in. It is not a pleasant place. They deserve your compassion, not your ego. When you can bring compassion to others and to the situation you find yourself in, you will drop into presence. You will be at peace. So any one of the qualities is a bridge into presence. And once you are into presence, then you have access to all of the other qualities. Most importantly, wisdom about what to do next, how to move in the world next, what to say next. Because that's always the big question, isn't it? It's like, well, how do I live from presence? How do I be this in the world? Well, there's no way of knowing ahead of time. You can only know that in the moment by being present to what is arising in you from the depths of your being, from your own inner wisdom about what to say and do in any moment. So there's no formula, unfortunately, for how to be in life. But fortunately, we don't need a formula. We are being shown in every moment what to say or not say, what to do or not do, how to be happy. We are being shown. That's how benevolent life is, how beautiful, how very, very beautiful it is and can be. But first, we have to land in presence, or we won't discover that, because the mind's reality is completely different. Life is scary. Life is horrible. People are terrible. I hate myself. I hate other people. I'll never be happy. These are two very different inner experiences that create very different outer experiences, because your inner experience very much affects your outer experience and what you draw to you, what you let yourself receive, and how you experience the world. So this moving into presence is not just a momentary feel-good place so that you can go back into the egoic mind and get going in the direction the ego wants you to go in. This is a permanent shift, a permanent way of life that you're moving towards. You're moving towards living entirely different, from a different place. And it will produce very different results, very good results. You will still have some issues that all human beings have. You may still experience health problems. You may still experience financial challenges at times. But you will have the resources for dealing with whatever challenge that you're faced with. Everyone has challenges. Those don't go away. We all age. Our bodies deteriorate. We eventually die. That doesn't change. But our relationship to those things changes so that we don't suffer so much in the midst of those challenges. We may still suffer briefly, but that's very different than the ongoing kind of suffering of the ego's world. So one of the qualities of presence that is so very, very important is love. And what's important to know about love is that it exists within you bountifully, infinitely. There is an infinite amount. You can't run out of it. And that the way you feel love and feel loved is by giving it, is by loving, not by being loved by somebody else. The ego thinks that if it gets love from outside itself, it will finally be happy and feel good and feel loved. But we all know that just because someone loves us does not necessarily mean we feel love or feel loved. We've all had an experience of being courted by somebody who was crazy about us, but that didn't make love happen inside of us. To some extent, love is a choice. It doesn't mean we're meant to fall in love with everybody we meet, but to a great extent, love is a choice. It's something we choose to do. We choose to give love. And by that, I mean simply really being present to somebody, being open to somebody, being receptive to somebody, attending to them, listening to them. Those are all qualities of presence. When we do that, the love flows from inside of us to them. And then we feel it. As it flows from inside of us, we feel the thing we most want to feel in life. We feel love. That's what we love about being in love, is that we love the beloved. We love loving. And we think that the beloved is the reason that we feel that way. But no, it's just because we have allowed ourselves to love. We have not let anything in our mind, our ideas, or conditioning interfere with that flow of love that is natural and automatic to our nature. When we're in presence, it's a place of heart open, wide open, arms open, love. Now, it might be a subtle sense of love, just a subtle openness to whoever's in front of you or to whatever you're doing. It may not be a gusher. There are various amounts of love that flow from us. But even that, you have some control over. You can focus on the love that you do have that is coming from you. And as you do that, it is increased. And then what you discover is that love comes back to you because it must. It's a natural law. What you put out comes back to you. It has to. If not in the exact moment you are putting it out, in some other moment, it will come back to you. And to begin to live from this law of love is to live another life. It's to change your life entirely from the ego's way. So if you are feeling stressed out, tense, upset, worn out, negative, contracted, hurt, whatever it is you might be feeling as a result of having listened to some thoughts or having been involved in a negative environment, being bombarded by egos and beaten down. Whenever you're feeling that way, you can choose to send love to someone or to something, even a tree, even a car. You can send it to anything. You can send it to a bracelet. It doesn't matter what you send it to. It only matters that you send it. This is a secret of life. Send love to something. And be sure to send it to yourself. This will transform your life. It will transform your heart. It will transform your brain, too. Because this does change the brain. And did you know that smiling, which is another bridge to presence, smiling has an effect on the brain. It changes your brain. It lights up the brain. And when you see somebody else smiling at you, or even just smiling, period, your own brain lights up in the same way. I think that's so amazing and so beautiful. So is this not a benevolent universe? Is this not a universe based in love? When this is the case, our brains are actually designed to respond positively to love. The chemicals, the endorphins, the oxytocin, it's all released. Good feelings are released when we love. When we behave in a loving manner, we are instantly rewarded, even literally, chemically, in our bodies. That is so interesting. Why is it that way? It seems perfectly designed to evolve us in the direction of love. We are being evolved towards love and away from the painful suffering that the ego creates. It's really very apparent when you look at it. This is what life is about, you could say. It's about moving from identification with ego and suffering and the sense of being a small, limited, lacking self to the realization of who we really are, to our divine nature that is love, that is peace, that is wisdom. And the proof is that we are rewarded when we make that choice to send love, to give love. sending love might sound like a difficult thing to do. How do you do it? How do you do it? All it is giving attention to something, letting your attention, your presence, your awareness, your consciousness land on whatever it is that you wish to love. So if you're sending love to a tree, you just give your attention to the tree and make the intention to send love. Making the intention creates the experience. Energy follows thought. You make that intention and the energy flows in that direction. The love flows out of you, and when it's flowing out of you, you feel love. That's how you get love. So you don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to have loving people around you. But for sure, if you are sending love to people, you will have loving people around you. And the unloving ones will run because they can't be in that vibration, really. They can't come near you, even. There is another world that you create when you live in love, another much more beautiful world. Another bridge is to simply make the choice to pray. May I be happy. May I be at peace. May all beings be happy. May all beings be at peace. May I be present. May I receive whatever I need to shift my perspective. Ask and you shall receive. It's so very important to just ask. And that's all I mean by prayer, is to just ask. Another very simple bridge is to be still. Just stop. Stop whatever you're doing. But stop and then focus on the stillness that exists once you stop, on the quiet that exists in this and every moment. It's here right now, the simple, quiet stillness in this very moment, in between my words. As you listen, you are in presence. As you make the choice to listen, you are choosing presence. As you make the intention to absorb this information, it is absorbed and you are in presence. It would be difficult for you not to be if you're listening. Listening happens from this still place. It's a still place. So just stop. Be still. Notice the quiet. Notice the stillness. Focus on that, because stillness is a quality of presence. Stillness is a word that people use to name presence. It's an alternative word, isn't it? And they call presence stillness because it's still. So when you focus on stillness, you become still. And when you find that place of stillness, there is not much going on. The mind quiets down. It becomes quiet, like a calm pool. And then you might begin to notice that any thought that does arise feels a little bit like a stirring of that water, maybe just a slight stirring. Or if there's some more dramatic thought, it might seem like a stone was just thrown into the water and there's a big splash. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the depths of a lake and there's little ducks paddling on the surface. Their little feet are paddling and they're stirring up the surface just a tiny bit. They can come and go and it's not a problem. Ducks paddling on the surface, no problem. So your thoughts are like that. They're like ducks paddling on the surface. Meanwhile, you stay in the depths of this stillness. And you learn to love the depths. And one of the ways you learn to love it is by becoming curious about it. You become curious about it, and that takes you deeper into it. So curiosity is another bridge into presence. Curiosity is a quality of presence. Curiosity. What is curious? We are all deeply curious beings, aren't we? Isn't that one of the most fun things about life, is being curious? Being curious about life. How beautiful. Life is so interesting. From presence, that is the experience. Even the challenges and the difficulties of life can feel interesting. What am I going to do now? How will I react to this one? This is interesting. What's it like to have this issue? What's it like to have this challenge? What's it like to have this problem? What's it like to have cancer? What's it like to not be able to do something with my legs or my arms? What's it like to die? So from presence, that is the attitude about life. What's it like? So curiosity is also a bridge. Another bridge and another quality of essence is awe. Isn't that when we feel happy and at peace, when we are in awe? It's a wonderful feeling. Children are in awe quite a bit. And the reason they are in awe as much as they are is that they don't bring a lot of thoughts and labels and ideas and stories to the experience of life. They experience things so purely. When you experience a flower without names and stories and thoughts about that flower, you're in awe about it. When you experience anything without bringing a lot of thought and ideas to it, you will feel that awe. And if you focus on that awe, you'll go more deeply into presence. And then, of course, another major bridge into presence are simply using positive affirmations. The value of positive thoughts and positive affirmations is that they reflect the experience of presence, and therefore they bring you into presence. So whenever you affirm a truth such as all is well and unfolding as it needs to, or this too shall pass, or it's all good, let it be, it is what it is, or even it doesn't matter. Whenever you express a truth like that, you drop into presence, because truth is presence, and untruth is the ego. So you can always use affirmations in that way to move yourself into presence. You could say, I am loved and supported by a benevolent universe. Those are the kinds of positive thoughts that are really helpful. And so that is how the mind is reprogrammed. And it is also how you calm your sympathetic nervous system. When you say calming things to yourself, you are activating your prefrontal cortex and calming your sympathetic nervous system. You're choosing to activate your prefrontal cortex. And when you activate your prefrontal cortex, you deactivate the limbic brain, the lower brain, the reptilian brain, the ego's brain. So when you speak as essence or presence would speak, you enter presence's domain. So positive thoughts are extremely important, And they are a wonderful bridge and a wonderful way to reprogram the mind. So I also want to just give you a general formula for when you're feeling contracted and ego involved. The first thing I suggested was to just stop. But another thing is to just slow down, because the egoic mind is always pushing us to hurry. And it's very difficult to be present when you're hurrying or when you're multitasking. Those things are counter-presence. They don't allow you to be simple and to focus on what you're doing here and now. If you're doing lots of things at once, you're not focused on one thing. And you might think you're accomplishing a lot, but in many cases, it's less effective. And there are a lot more mistakes that are made. So there are certain kinds of multitasking you can get away with, like listening to an audiobook and washing the dishes. You could get away with that. But a lot of the multitasking that people do simply scatters them and makes them less effective, causes mistakes, and it makes them stressed out. So if you are feeling stressed out, if you're feeling contracted, if you're feeling in the grip of the ego, then just stop. Or at the very least, slow down. Slow down enough to really experience what you're doing. Or stop if you have to. Take some deep breaths. Count your breaths. Feel your body. Sense the aliveness in your body. Just take a break. Take a breather, as they say. And then let yourself experience the energy of the contraction. What does that feel like? Just sit with it. Be with it. Allow that contraction to be there and get curious about it. And then ask yourself, what thought or belief or story am I telling myself that's causing this contraction, that's causing the stress? What is it? How did I create this contraction? What am I believing now that is untrue? Because if you are contracted, you're believing something that is untrue. It's as simple as that. If you're feeling relaxed and at peace, then you're in truth. Then whatever you're thinking, if you're thinking anything, but chances are you aren't thinking anything, then whatever you're thinking is aligned with truth, is positive. Because truth is always positive. It's always positive because this is a benevolent universe. So when you feel relaxed and at peace, you are either not engaged in your mind, or if you are engaged in your mind, you are still the master of it and you are in a neutral or positive frame of mind. When you spend more and more time in presence, the mind gets cleared out of negativity. And it becomes more and more neutral and more positive. And the way it's cleared out is by noticing what's in your mind, by letting it be there, not fighting it. You don't go to war with your thoughts. And that's one of the bridges into presence, letting your thoughts be as they are. Just let them be as they are. Do not go to war with them. Let them be. Don't touch them. Have compassion for them. I talked myself so deeply into presence, I don't have anything more to say. It's funny how you can talk yourself into presence, right? You can talk yourself right into it. Of course, you can talk yourself out of it really fast, too. Whenever we open our mouth, it's the ego that tends to talk, tends to speak. So learning to speak and act from presence is something I'm going to talk about more next week, because there's a whole way of being from presence that has to be learned. And it's quite a journey. It's a lengthy journey. It takes a while to learn how to live from this place of presence as we gradually let go of the mind and feel courageous enough to stay in presence for longer and longer periods of time. And the reason it takes courage is that we're so convinced that our mind has to plan for the future and figure everything out ahead of time. But in fact, it doesn't. It doesn't have to plan for the future. There are times when planning is useful and required. And so then you plan in those times and then you let the rest go. But if you give the mind a chance, it will plan everything. Plan what it's going to say. Plan what it's going to do. Imagine the whole future, detail by detail. It's good to examine whether that's useful or not. What you discover when you live more from presence is that it isn't actually useful. But you have to learn to trust that. And that takes a while. The trust isn't developed overnight usually, especially if there is a certain amount of distrust in the conditioning. That's a tough one. Because distrust and fear is how the ego keeps the whole illusion in place, the illusion of the false self.